Hello, hello, lovely listeners.
All of you ghouls and goblins.
And everything in between. Welcome to Across the Veil with Zelda.
And Emma.
How's your new year been?
You know, it's been the same. I really haven't experienced anything different.
Is it a new year or is it just the same?
It's same shit, different date that I have to write, but that's
about
it.
Yeah, different date that I forget to write. I cannot remember that I have to write 21.
I have not had to write 2021 yet because I don't do anything.
It's been more like in reference for me about things where I was like, I was talking about something that's supposed to come out in like the next year. And I was like, yeah, so it's coming out in 2021. And my roommate was like, oh, so it's coming out this year. And I was like, no, next year. Oh.
Yeah, no, years.
That's 2022.
Mean very little to me anymore.
Mm-hmm. They mean nothing. Mm-hmm. I still measure things in semesters.
Yeah, I do too, except we're not in college anymore.
Yeah, speaking of college.
So one of the big things that I miss about New Orleans is that people are kind of gearing up for Mardi Gras season. And although that's not happening at all this year for safety reasons, of course, please stay away.
Mm-hmm. Please don't visit.
Please don't visit New Orleans. But the food... And I miss it so much. Mm-hmm. So Drunk Zelda was like, you know, it's a good idea getting king cakes delivered to California. So I've been introducing all of the California people that I live with to king cakes.
Did you get the baby or did someone else?
We set it up for somebody to get the baby because we're in California. You can't buy the next king cake. So we said whoever gets the baby has to take 2 shots.
Smart.
Alcohol of their choice, but they do have to take 2 shots. So that was, we did set it up. It was sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been delicious and it's been good. And it kind of got me A, missing New Orleans, and B, thinking about other New Orleans food. So I figured, let's go back to New Orleans and discuss another NOLA cryptid.
Come back to me, baby.
Yeah, this week we're going to be talking about the Rougarou.
The Rougarou.
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 Into a French accent. So tales of this cryptid have been passed down through many generations in many different cultures. Very many. And we all know that America is a melting pot of a bunch of different peoples with their own stories and traditions. And well, I kind of like to think of New Orleans as like a gumbo pot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's like bits and pieces and chunks from so many places and communities that it would be really impossible to fully capture the spectrum of its rich history in just one bite.
Mm-hmm.
So in this episode, we'll be covering the Rougarou to the best of our abilities in a way that's engaging and succinct. But don't worry, if you're still interested, there's a lot more to explore.
And I don't know much about the Rougarou as well, even though I'm currently in New Orleans and I know it's werewolfy.
Yeah, big Louisiana cryptid guy.
Oh yeah, big Louisiana cryptid spirit. What's good? The Grunch.
Yes, Grunch's brunch friend.
Yes, the Grunch brunch friend.
The Grunch and the Rougarou go to brunch together.
the Grunchy brunch.
The Grunch bunch. Yeah, so I thought it would be fun to compare our good friend the Rougarou to a pot of gumbo because there's both a lot of things that go into them. It's the history is like the shrimp and the chicken and the andouille sausage and the okra. It's kind of, that's where my brain was kind of when I was doing this research.
Your brain was lots of meats, basically. You were thinking,
this thing eats people, so.
So meat works. So. The analogy stands by.
It do, it do. So to begin discussing this Louisiana cryptid, we actually got to start all the way back in medieval France. So the Rougarou has ties to a French cryptid called the Loup-Garou, which translates to werewolf. And these creatures were a big part of French countryside folklore, and I'm sure we all know plenty of werewolf stories.
Mm-hmm.
There were actually trials for people accused of being werewolves, which were similar to witch trials, which is kind of an interesting tie-in. But they just put people on trial for everything in those days.
Oh, yeah.
I think they had nothing better to do than like, we're like trying out a system of justice. Let's,
It was like reality TV for them to put people on trial.
Oh my god, it really, yeah, definitely.
Like, we're bored, let's all gather and see who fucked up this week, and now we're gonna hang them.
Why not? Or burn them,
yeah.
You know? But that's where the twist comes in.
Ooh.
So, fun geographic fact, wolves are native to France, but they are not native to Louisiana. So, a lot of people speculate that the Rougarou and their friends took the transcontinental journey from the old to the new world when all of this jazz was going down.
Hell yeah.
Do you get the pun?
I get it.
Do you get the pun? All of the jazz.
I get the pun.
New Orleans jazz.
New Orleans is about jazz. And so you referenced jazz.
I had to.
Mm-hmm. And all that jazz.
Jazz. French settlers came to Louisiana in the 16th century and brought legends of this creature with them. The city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana as a whole has changed many hands many times over its long course of history. We all know about the Louisiana Purchase. Lots of stuff happened. The name change is said to come from Cajun influences. So the Rougarou is similar to werewolves, but with a little more spice. Tony seasoning, if I'd have to guess.
Oh, yeah.
That's the little extra Louisiana spice.
We all know Tony seasoning in Louisiana.
You have to. It's delicious. So lycanthropes, which for those of you not in the know, is fancy terminology for werewolves because we are real cryptozoologists and we like to use real terminology.
Yes, we do. Latin and stuff.
Exactly. Lycanthropes change into wolves, but it is said the Rougarou can change into many different kinds of animals. The most common depiction, however, is a creature between 7 to 8 feet tall with a humanoid body and a wolf-like head. The Rougarou has also been compared to the Wendigo, which is a Native American legendary creature, because they share similar traits like superhuman speed and shape-shifting abilities. The Rougarou has also been likened to Bigfoot, which I feel is just because they're big and hairy, which is a gross generalization of cryptid taxonomy.
Honestly.
Like, it's just absolutely incorrect.
Completely. Do Rougarous have big feet?
Probably not. Do big feet eat people? What do you call more than one Bigfoot?
I mean, it's kind of, I feel like it has to be kind of similar to like how you don't call octopus, like the plural of octopus is not actually octopi. It is octopuses.
Yeah, it's octopodi.
Oh, there's octopuses.
Octopodi?
Octopuses.
No. Octopodi, because they're cephalopods. We're not real zoologists.
That's a Google for a different time.
That's octopodi. And I took one semester of biology in college, and that's the only thing I learned.
Hey guys, it's Emma tuning in from the editing room, also known as my bedroom, to let you know that we solved this debate. Or actually, Merriam-Webster solved this debate. So in terms of octopi versus octopuses and the proper word use, both of them are fine. But technically, octopuses is, quote, more right. However, octopus actually comes from Greek, so it later got the super rare pluralization octopodes, whereas a Latin origin would have made the pluralization octopi. But ultimately, octopus is an English word, and as such has an English pluralization, meaning that octopuses is correct according to the conventions of the English language. But in the end, even the dictionary itself doesn't really give a shit about which form you use. So really, you can just kind of use them all. If you want to be super fancy, like Zelda, and say octopodes, go ahead. If you want to be technically correct in modern English, say octopuses. But if you want to say octopi, you can do that too. And honestly, that's my favorite version, partially because it sounds like I'm not saying octopussy. Anyways, now back to your regularly scheduled Rougarou programming.
Okay, so Rougarou, you're thinking, how does one become a Rougarou and what does the curse entail?
That is what I'm thinking.
Yep, this cryptid, like many, has a bunch of different origin stories. So here's a few of them. Some tales tell of people cursed by witches, or even that these witches summon the creatures from the depths of hell. Which, like, I'm thinking, why would they do that? Like, don't you think witches would have better things to do? I mean, maybe they got drunk and thought it would be funny.
I feel like it'd be a funny thing.
Wait, yeah, I can actually see that happening.
Yeah.
Drunk Zelda impersonations. Like, you know what would be funny?
What would be so funny?
Summoning a creature from hell.
Oh my god, it's the best idea I've ever heard in my fucking life. Let's just bring it up from hell.
Like, it's from hell, and, like, we can do shots with it.
Oh my god, yes, and, like, it's so boring, so let's just do some shots with some fucking demons.
Witches know how to party.
Damn right.
Older Rougarou myths from French Catholicism say that a person who did not follow the rules of Lent for 7 years would contract the curse. And some people even say Rougarouism is genetic and passed down from generation to generation, and that the transformation is triggered by heightened emotions. But only if the person has tasted human flesh, which I don't think was super common.
Hopefully not. Very similar, though, to the Vampire Diaries interpretation of werewolves, in case we've got any Vampire Diaries fans out there. Not saying I've watched every episode, but not saying that I've watched every episode of that or the originals.
Some tales even say that the curse only lasts for 101 days. So if you've been in quarantine this entire time, you know that 101 days is long, but it's like not that long. And as far as curses go, it's not that bad. Like, stay inside.
Not that bad.
Yeah, just my opinion.
Are you a wolf like the whole, or are you Rougarou the whole time?
Only at night.
Oh, that's fine.
Chill. So unlike the Ihirak from previous episodes, the creature that the Ruguru transforms into looks completely normal. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might think it's got a bad vibe, but otherwise you'd never know if it was a Ruguru unless it transformed in front of you. One way to get a Ruguru to transform in front of you would be to cut it with a knife, most likely silver. That's like werewolf rules, silver knives, silver bullets.
Yeah.
And then the creature would be forced to turn back into its human form. One story in a college paper from Houma, Louisiana, tells the tale of a woman who remembered a potential Ruguru account from her childhood. She describes a local boy who is being chased by a hound. Afraid, the boy brandished the knife his dad got him and cut the dog, who turned into a man before running off. The boy went home and told his parents, who didn't believe him, until the next day when they saw the town's physician with his right arm bandaged and in a sling, the same place that the boy had cut the dog. The physician eventually shot himself after whispers about him in the town, and a year later the boy also killed himself. He left behind a letter to his family, which they turned over to the sheriff, and nobody has been allowed to read the letter since because the contents are apparently a big secret.
Oh my god.
So you might think that this is a super extreme response, but legend says that if a person cuts a Ruguru, sees them transform, they must keep their secret for a year and a day, otherwise they too will be cursed.
Oh shit, so the boy
told his parents about the curse, became a Ruguru, and killed himself because he couldn't handle being a monster. So the Ruguru appears in the daytime as a human, albeit they might look exhausted or drained, but at night they develop a taste for human blood, including that of their families. So there's a lot of Ruguru stories about somebody finding a Ruguru and then transforming at home and killing their entire family.
Oh, yeah. That's rough.
Well, if you're ever trying to protect yourself from a Ruguru, if you suspect a neighbor or a friend of being one, is to lay 13 small objects by your door. So apparently when a person changes into a Ruguru, they forget how to count past 12 because of their obsession with the moon and with midnight. And I also sometimes forget how to count past 12 because I did not take a math class in college.
I have to check division, like, what's 16 divided by 2? Gotta make sure on my iPhone.
Please don't make me leave tips. Please don't make me calculate tips.
Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard.
Mm-hmm. I'm gay and math is hard.
Nobody taught us how to leave tips. Not really. They tried, but like we really should have been specified for tax and tips.
Well, in Singapore, you don't tip. So I spent the first 18 years of my life not knowing that tipping was a thing because like tax was included with your meal. So you'd always expect to pay like how much ever more at the end of your meal than what you were ordering. But like you didn't have to calculate tip and everything went back into the restaurant anyway.
And then people don't get tipped like 1 cent, even though they did absolutely fine service.
Yeah, and servers in Singapore are making well above what American minimum wage workers are making. So maybe it's a time we eradicate the tip system.
Perhaps.
And just pay people a living wage.
Just give people the money they need to survive.
Just a thought from some thoughts.
Just a thought from some thoughts.
So other typical things also subdue Rougarous: salt, silver, holy items, garlic. But the only way to truly kill the creature is to cut off its head and burn the body. So it's Stephanie Meyer vampire rules.
Oh, big Stephanie Meyer vampire rules. Never forget the ballet studio scene. They're fucking jumping on that, ripping off that motherfucker's head.
They said that was a hard scene to film. Also, because you don't want to film in a room of mirrors because you don't want to get your camera in a mirror.
Filming with one mirror is hard enough. As someone who has been in films and filmed, mirrors are rough stuff.
Bad.
Yeah, hard.
Don't film with mirrors.
Damn.
So there have been a few Ruguru reports, but because of the fact that revealing a Ruguru may turn someone into one, many people may just be keeping their mouth shut about their experiences, which is honestly a great way to keep. It's a great cryptid thing. It's a great thing that you can't talk about seeing it.
Yeah, it's like a Fight Club. It's a Fight Club of cryptids.
Yeah, it's Fight Club, but Ruguru.
Don't talk about Ruguru.
Don't talk about the Ruguru.
Don't fucking talk about it.
One of the most famous potential Ruguru sightings has become well known in cryptozoological circles. It's called the Derrider Roadkill. So in 1996, a woman named Barbara Mullins was driving down Highway 12 in Louisiana when she spotted a strange sight by the side of the road. She thought it was roadkill at first, a raccoon, maybe a possum, but as she got closer, she saw that it was much bigger. Much, much bigger. Thinking it was maybe somebody's dog, she pulled off the road and went to investigate, bringing her camera with her. The carcass she stumbles across is described as being the size of an adult Saint Bernard and covered in long, brown, matted fur. She describes the face as having a hybrid of baboon and canine features. She snapped a few photos, went home, posted them online, which turned this creature into a viral sensation. Unfortunately, when the news got a hold of the pictures, they claimed it was just somebody's dog, like maybe a Pomeranian that had escaped. Barbara had not thought to include any indicator of the size of the creature, so we don't truly know the scale of the corpse, but I've Googled this thing and it does not look like a Pomeranian to me. It's big. It looks like it's big.
Pomeranians also don't look like baboons. They look like puffballs with a nose and eyes.
Yeah, so this thing is, it's creepy and horrifying to look at. Like me in the mornings.
Me too. Like me all day. Because me in the mornings is no longer just me in the mornings. There's no shift between me and like looking attractive. It's just all day.
Time really has no meaning for me anymore. Mm-hmm. It also doesn't really matter if the Rougarou is real or not. You know, the stories that have been passed down are all part of the vibrancy of Louisiana history. And I've been trying all episode to figure out a pun that involves roux, which is the thing that you make the base out of gumbo, and it's part of the creature's name. I'm coming up blank. If somebody gets a good joke in, please let me know. There is an annual Rougarou festival in Houma every year, and the Audubon Zoo in New Orleans actually has a Rougarou exhibit, which includes a statue of the creature in all of its swampy glory. Another fun pop culture thing that involves the Rougarou is that J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter universe includes wands that contain Rougarou hair as their magical core for her American wizards. So, like, fuck J.K. Rowling. Trans lives matter. Don't be a transphobe.
Don't.
But kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Kind of cool that Rougarou hair put it in a wand.
We also have, the famous art exhibit, or like the art piece, the blue dog, which is the blue Rougarou. Which is one of the first sort of like New Orleans big art things that I heard about when I first came down here. Although that does look like a Pomeranian, but that was just based on the artist's dog.
So yeah, that's that on the Rougarou. And I've been really homesick for New Orleans, so it was kind of nice to do a little research on the swamps that I love and I miss.
New Orleans misses you too. I have a lot of dogs in my neighborhood. So like,
are they dogs?
I don't know anymore. I don't know. But I can't find out because if I do, I can't talk about it.
To be honest, Emma, if you or I were a Rougarou, we couldn't tell you guys.
We couldn't.
What would you rather, a Rougarou or a werewolf? Which one would you rather be?
It depends on the iteration of werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some werewolves in media and such, although it's more modern media. I'm looking at you again, Vampire Diaries. Who they can more choose to be a wolf when they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'd be kind of sick to be able to turn into a wolf whenever I want to.
I like the iterations where they still are themselves inside.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want to like completely lose myself, but like turning into a wolf would be kind of
sick.
That'd be
kind of dope though. Like, so, mm-hmm. But then if it's like a, you don't get to choose and you're just wildly violent, but if it's like a Rougarou thing, where it's only 101 days of doing this, then I'm gonna go with Rougarou.
And you can turn into any animal.
Any animal.
And like, that's shocking. Like, what if like there's a deer and you're like, oh, that deer gives me bad vibes and mm-hmm. it kills you and it was a Rougarou.
Yeah, that's the
thing. It was a deer, so you didn't expect it. Yes, yeah, so it's sneaky.
You think wolf and then you get deer.
You're like, oh dear.
Oh, oh dear. That deer's a Rougarou and I'm now skewered by its horns.
Boo-hoo-garoo.
Boo-hoo-garoo.
Yeah, what do you call a sad Rougarou? Boo-hoo-garoo.
Ooh, what? Such jokes that we give the people here.
The people are all interested in our jokes.
Before we end the episode, we'd love to give a shout out to all of our amazing new Patreon subscribers. We really, really love you guys. So thanks so much to Casper, Ashley, Sam, Devin, Kath, and Amy.
Thank you so much for your support.
If you'd like to support our podcast through Patreon as well, just search Across the Veil on patreon.com.
This week, our promo is from our friends over at Move Away Podcast. It's a horror audio drama for the era of COVID-19. So if you want something spooky and something super timely, check it out. But we'll let them tell you a little more.
Most folks already miss seeing people smile.
Hey, sorry. I'm really trying hard to social distance.
You don't get to ask for that!
Wandering the silent streets of Buffalo, New York in the first days of quarantine, Adam Combs discovers something he will never forget. When our quarantine began, theirs came to an end.
Everyone is
trying to heal the wounds of the wandering damned.
I want to help you. I can tell your story, please.
But gathering his own wounds in the process.
Those feelings of powerlessness are important to acknowledge.
If you need, like, help or something, let me know, man. I can take you to an urgent care if you need a ride.
All of us are in danger. Move away. Stay 6 feet away from your demons.
Available free wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us at Move Away Podcast on all social media.
Emma, do you want to talk about what you're going to say next week? Do you have a little hint, a little sneaky?
So to finish out January and the beginning of this new year, we're going to take it back to bad luck. Because so far this year has not been super lucky. And I'm going to be telling you guys a little bit about doppelgangers.
Ooh, we're seeing double.
Oh, yeah.
But for now, we're done. So we'll see y'all next time across the van.